Welcome to the Healthcare IS podcast, where we tackle today's challenges in the health IT workforce. Broadcasting live from Sacramento, California, here's your host, David Cushon.
Hi there, this is David Cushon, President and Managing Partner of Healthcare IS. Welcome to our 12th podcast. We're really excited today. This is one of our interview podcasts, and today we have Gwen Darling, who's the founder and president of Healthcare IT Central, as well as Healthcare IT Today, as our guest. And with that, let's get to the interview. Okay, welcome to our interview section today within our podcast. Today, I'm really excited to have Gwen Darling as our guest. Gwen is the president and founder of both Healthcare IT Central, which is a career portal in the healthcare IT space, and also the president and founder of Healthcare IT Today, which is a blog that focuses on workforce and career development in the healthcare IT space as well. Gwen, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, just to get us started, tell us a little bit about how you began your career in this area within the healthcare IT space. Just give our listeners a little bit of an idea of where you came from and what your motivations were to get going here.
Okay. My career has always alternated kind of between marketing and IT, and sometimes both for about the last 15 years or so. So it kind of started in the late 90s. I was working doing internet marketing. It was just kind of the beginning of the internet, and I developed an online affiliate program for a medical grade skincare company in Springdale, Arkansas, and eventually they asked me to run the entire company, which I definitely consider, you know, a career highlight.
Sure.
At the same time, I was moonlighting at night, like from 9 o'clock at night to about 2 in the morning, as the internet for beginners guide for about.com. So it was there that I really learned strategies for how to build an online community, because you really just can't beat the tools that about.com provides. So after 5 years at the skincare company and doing the about.com at night, I took a position as director of sales and marketing at Travel Nurse Across America, which is a travel nurse staffing company. It was a very time-intensive position. It was a, you know, 12-hour-a-day kind of commitment. And at that point, my kids were entering their teen years. And so after 2 years of that, I decided to go into consulting on my own so that I could be more available to the kids and, you know, have a better sense for what they were into. So within a month of when I left to go out on my own, I got a call from a travel nurse company in Boston who had found me on LinkedIn, and I spent the next 2 years doing consulting work for them and eventually got involved in their healthcare IT practice.
I see.
Yeah. So, you know, as with anyone's career, it kind of just winds around and you end up in a place that you didn't expect, but it certainly was wonderful timing to land in healthcare IT, you know, back in 2008. So I worked for that, and that company ended up eventually turning into Vitalize, which a lot of people are familiar with that company. And so it was about that point that I realized that the healthcare IT industry was lacking a comprehensive job board and career portal. So I decided to take the leap and launch the site in May of 2009.
Great. And it's
so that's
just
that's the story.
Yeah. Very predictable path, it sounds like. I'm just kidding, of course. But
I know.
You know, being that that's what, you know, Healthcare IS focuses on in careers, it's just it's an example of just not having your head in the sand and being aware of what opportunities are out there for you and taking advantage of them. So I appreciate you highlighting that. So many people get stuck on a typical career path, but this is just a perfect example of how you can leverage your skills and experience and take them in different directions. That's fantastic. So 2009, I believe that Healthcare IT Central and IT Today started at different times, correct?
Right. Launched the job board in May of 2009, and then realized shortly after that it would be great to provide content focused on workforce and career development because there really wasn't a dedicated, you know, place for professionals to go to get that kind of content. So we launched Healthcare IT Today the following year. I think it was in February of 2010.
Okay, so you've got, and this is why I really wanted to speak with you today, because from your standpoint, you've got a very unique perspective from the healthcare IT workforce and career space. And before I get into some questions on what you see happening today, give me an idea moving, when you started the site, who tended to be most of the employers? I mean, of course, the employers would probably be people looking to hire and attract healthcare IT skill sets. But having said that, what was the type, the most typical type of background or what kind of knowledge or skills did the typical individual have that was coming to your site when you started in 2009, 2010?
I think when we started, it was most of the candidates that were coming to the site were already experienced candidates. They, you know, were, had several years behind them and they were just looking for their new opportunity. So there weren't a lot of, there weren't a lot of candidates who were looking to break into the industry, for instance, or those who were, just entry level. So I think it was pretty much mid-range to upper range professionals who were experienced, understood the industry and were just looking for their next opportunity.
Okay. Okay. And you know, you made a, you, as I asked you, of course, at the beginning, what kind of backgrounds were you seeing? And you were specific to that. Has that, have you seen it change over time? What's kind of evolved over the last few years? And it, you know, I'm saying this to give listeners just a perspective on what types of backgrounds exist or are getting into the healthcare IT space, but have you seen much of a change in the types of backgrounds that tend to visit the site today?
Yeah, I've seen a huge change, which is nice because it now pretty much runs the gamut from newcomers looking for entry-level positions to kind of get their foot in the door to the experienced CIOs who are looking for their next challenge and pretty much everybody in between. And then, you know, as things progress in HIT and we start to see new job titles and new job descriptions, that's attracting candidates with really, you know, interesting and diverse backgrounds too. And, you know, I think a lot of times when people think HIT, they think immediately the computer people who are, you know, building and implementing these new systems. But there are also, you know, there's sales, there's marketing, there's project management. There are a lot of other angles that you can come into the industry, you know, and a lot of other needs. So I think as things are progressing in HIT and those things are starting to grow, then we're seeing, you know, really diverse candidate backgrounds coming to the site.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see where you, I was going to say, I could see how you could see that because we get quite a bit of that at Healthcare IS as well. Tell me from the employer perspective, you have employers that are advertising on your site. Have you seen much of a change over time in the skill sets that have become in the highest demand over the last couple of years as opposed to 4 years ago?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's starting to expand. I mean, of course, if you are an Epic certified professional, you're always going to be in demand. And that doesn't look like it's going to change anytime soon. But that's certainly not the only way to be successful and have job security in this industry. Something that's really interesting that I'm starting to see a lot more demand for is project management professionals, which makes sense. You know, and once these projects are implemented, there needs to be someone to oversee the next step. And so I'm seeing a lot of project management positions. And then, of course, you know, with the deadlines coming up, for instance, for ICD-10, starting to see a lot more positions opening up for ICD-10 trainers and project managers. So I'm sure that that's going to heat up since the deadline, you know, is coming up next October.
Sure, absolutely. You know, with so many people coming to your site and looking to break into the industry, one of the questions I get every day, and I'd like to just put it your way to get your perspective, is this challenge that people have of wanting to get into the industry. There's such demand for skill sets or for certain skill sets in the industry. You mentioned Epic being one of them. How does somebody get their foot in the door somewhere? You know, it's the chicken or the egg. And I know you, from our conversations, you hear this a lot. And rather than paraphrase, I'd like you to maybe give our listeners your perspective. I know there's a lot of new sites out there providing training, certifications. Mm-hmm. What have you seen? What are some successful ways people with maybe a general background that would be a good foundation to get into this industry? What are some of the things that they've done and been successful with to get their foot in the door?
Well, of course, that's a million-dollar question, as you know. And I, like you, I get that question on a really regular basis. And, you know, I'm a real believer in education. I think some of the new programs that are coming out are, when, I'm going to back up for a minute there, when the government awarded all of those millions of dollars for training and set up the workforce development program, where they funded universities and community colleges, a lot of those programs were thrown together in a hurry. And I, you know, from what I understand, speaking to a lot of the students and even the administrators of those programs, they failed to look at job placement as part of the overall program. So they were putting through a lot of students through these programs with the understood promise that they would be, you know, employable when they got out, and that's just not what's happened. So there's a lot of there have been a lot of people who have been disillusioned by the whole education side of things. So that being said, I think that a lot of the universities now understand that that's something that they need to include in their programs, and so they're starting to include job placement services within their programs. So I do a lot of work with the University of Illinois Chicago, for instance. They have a master's in informatics program. Their candidates are having really great luck finding positions after graduation because UIC is forming partnerships with employers and starting to really take a big interest in their candidates, their graduates' employment. So I would say if someone does want to, you know, go the education route and pick up some extra education to make sure that whatever university or organization is providing the education has those job placement services as part of what they offer, that would be something I would just, you know, definitely recommend. I know it's difficult, too, for, you know, I read a lot of these other professionals who are giving advice on this, and they say, you know, well, volunteer. Well, that's difficult to do because, you know, volunteer, you're not getting paid. So I hesitate to even suggest putting in some volunteer time. I know that if someone is already on the clinical side of things, it's a lot easier to, you know, to get into HIT. That can be as simple as just expressing an interest in learning more on that side. I've talked to a lot of candidates who that's how they got their start. You know, they just made it clear to their supervisors, this is something I want to learn, and they were afforded the opportunity to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
It's tough. It's just tough. It's a difficult deal. You know, the other thing is too, there's a lot of opportunity in some of these other areas that we've talked about. In sales and in marketing, not only project management, but product management. So there are a lot of different ways, you know, to come into this industry from different angles. So it's not just necessarily the hands-on computer, you know, kinds of positions that will get you there.
Well, that's great. That's, you know, very detailed, robust advice. I appreciate that. You went into some detail that I wasn't even expecting to hear. I think that one of the main points I took away from this is that the industry has gotten to the point where from a competitive competitive standpoint, from the educational institutions, that it's that they're offering, that there are organizations that are offering more than just the getting you educated part of it. It's also the helping you take that education and find something tangible out in the workforce. And that's good to hear that that those institutions are realizing that that's a big component is in the big picture.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, some of the hospitals that I'm starting to talk to now, and I mean, you could speak more to this since this is, you know, you're more directly attached to the hospitals, but I'm hopeful that the hospitals will start to hire more for talent and initiative and get that training for, you know, the person who's not necessarily completely ready to go, you know, completely certified or completely up to speed on whatever it is that they need.
Yeah, you know, that's, I mean,
are you seeing more of that happening?
Well, you know, let me ask you, you kind of took one of my questions there. One of the questions I wanted to ask you is, knowing that you speak with many of these employers on, you know, that use your site to attract people, mm-hmm. what I was going to ask you, and then I'll share after, is, are you seeing, since those specific skills are, you know, since organizations can't find everybody they're looking for with the specific skills, are, you know, what intangible skills, or are you finding that they're being open to some of those intangible skills? From my perspective, there's still a bare minimum level of knowledge and experience that an employer has to have. But I am seeing that. So, for instance, if they're looking for someone on Siemens or Cerner and they don't have it, I do have a couple clients right now who have been willing to take somebody with what they consider to be a very strong transferable knowledge base if some of the intangible areas exist overall. What have you seen from that standpoint?
I'm starting to see more of that too. And, you know, I don't always see it reflected in the job description. And I mean, that could be a whole nother conversation about, you know, how a strong job description can be helpful on both sides of the hiring equation. But, I am starting to see some of these jobs that are posted where they are talking about, you know, transferable skills. So, you know, I think, of course, with various government deadlines looming, there's, I don't want to call it panic, but there is a hurry up and get this done feeling that's pretty pervasive. And so thinking about having to drill a little bit deeper into a candidate's background and expertise to see if that, you know, that this is, person is hireable, I know it's a commitment on the employer side. And I just think that that's just going to have to be a commitment that's going to need to be made in order for things to continue to move forward.
Absolutely. I don't think there'd be many that disagree with that. It's the constant challenge of organizations looking for the right people for the long run, mm-hmm. but doing so while trying to find the exact skill set they need for yesterday. And that's where the challenge comes into play most of the time,
exactly.
At least what I see.
Yes. Yes.
Well, listen, we're coming towards the end of our time here. I really appreciate you being with me today. I know you've touched upon a number of nuggets here that haven't necessarily come up in previous podcasts that we've had. So I know that our continual listeners certainly will have picked up on some things that'll bring them some value and help them manage their career and possibly given some of the hiring managers, excuse me, who listen to the show, some perspectives to have in finding and hiring the right people. So just want to take another moment and thank you so much for being again with us on the show today. I know you're bringing our listeners a ton of value. Thanks again.
Well, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Great. Thanks. Okay. Thanks. That wraps up this episode and interview today, podcast number 18. As always, go back to the website for any show notes or links that you might be looking for in the blog section. Also, feel free if you have any follow-up questions for Gwen, you can post them in the comment section of that particular blog page, and we'll be sure to follow up with Gwen and get any additional questions you might have answered. As always, feel free to catch us on Google+, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn for different perspectives and an inside view on healthcare IM.